Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Adam Wozniak, and I'm joined here today with my good friends and co-host,
Alex Stoker
and Darren Parkinson.
How you doing, guys?
Doing great.
I'm doing great so far. Trying to catch up on all my summer work.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, same.
Well, it's been like 2 weeks and the place didn't burn down or anything. So I'm glad y'all are doing all right.
Yeah, we held the fort down with while you were gone. But
yeah, it's great to have you back, Adam.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed the shows, man. I actually did listen to them. I promise.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it. Today we have two guests, two for one today. The first is Rebecca Robinson, and a second is our returning guest, Katie Galley. How you doing, guys?
Good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having us today.
Yeah. Thanks for coming and welcome back. So, Rebecca Robinson, I understand that you're a career transition coach or business transition coach, career transition coach.
Correct. So, it's kind of a twofold. Mm-hmm. So, one thing that I do is I help people transition their careers to the next level in technology. My focus is very specifically women. So women that have roles in technology that kind of want to level up, that's the career transition piece. But then there's also another sect of women that are kind of at the other end of the spectrum where they want to transition out and they want to start businesses. Mm-hmm. So I help them utilize the skills and everything that they've learned throughout their career. And I help them transition into owning their own business. So some of them will start up consulting firms, mentoring companies, nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. So like someone who worked in the finance field, they'd move into like financial consulting and then that's the start a firm or something like that.
Exactly.
So like what specifically would, just one example of how you would help somebody. Transition.
So say you have someone that's been in project management, or actually I have a lady that's a QA. She has been a QA manager, director.
Is that quality assurance?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Sorry. So when I spoke with her, she had a lot of great experience, a lot of years. And the thing that we're working towards is her setting up a training program and a mentoring program to help other people that want to follow her path. So how has she been successful in this field for so many years? And then the field is ever changing. So what are the gotchas? What do you look out for? how do you successfully transition into this out of college?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, you know, just in the field, I've noticed that millennials have trouble in corporate a lot of times because the expectations. So a lot of the millennials that I talk to in technology, it's not what they thought. So they come out of college expecting work to be a certain way. And even when I came out of college, it was the same thing. I know a lot of engineers that I graduated with that went to law school because it wasn't what they expected when they came out. They thought they were going to have these, you know, amazing jobs and it was just going to be so exciting, but they come out and they're sitting at a desk.
Mm. Okay, so they had the bar too high there.
Exactly. They didn't know where to put the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So no one was there really realistically guiding them. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build a community of people that have the experience that can pass it down to those that are coming in so they know what to expect, how much money to ask for, how to position themselves to move forward. And then, you know, we face a lot of pitfalls. I mean, just as like women, for instance, you guys can't see me on the radio, but I'm a pretty short woman.
We'll get some group pictures up on Twitter afterwards.
And my first job, there was this guy that I worked with. He was about 6'8". And
that's pretty tall.
That's very tall. And he pulled me to the side one day and he said, "You let these guys stand too close. He said, you're short. So when they come close to you, you're looking up. Don't do that. Step back. Equal plane.
Right.
He said, so you're not looking up at them. He said, they're making you do that. I had no idea. Wow, it was a conspiracy.
Yeah.
So it's just little things like that that you learn along the way that would have been really, really helpful had I known like everything up front.
I wish someone told me that when I first realized I wasn't going to get taller.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, how many people have been doing that to me over the years?
Yeah, my life is a lie. But I got one question about, you were talking about the expectations of college students with their careers. Why do you think that their expectations aren't correctly aligned with reality?
Because no one is telling them. No one, I mean, if you, like, I know when I was in college, I went for computer science.
Mm-hmm.
We had all these great projects that we worked on. We had, you know, it was fun. The development was fun. No one tells you when you come out, you're doing the grunt work, dude.
Right.
You know, you are searching through code, trying to find little mistakes or just trying to insert this piece of code. Well, I didn't go to college 4 years just to insert this piece of code. You know, on my first job outside of college, it hit me like a ton of bricks. They told me, they said, we didn't hire you to think. We hired you to do what we want.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like that's a big issue with a lot of internships. When they have a lot of that grunt work laying around, they just say, let's hire a student. Not giving them really any like real world experience. Just like, here, just do some of the tedious stuff. So, yeah.
Right. So what I want to do is I want to create these partnerships and relationships with people that have been in the industry, that have been doing it, so they can give these kids a realistic view as to what to expect when you come out. And then I'm even trying to forge other partnerships that will allow them to actually get real world experience. So, you know, come out, work for one of the consultants that, you know, that are part of the team, and they'll actually give you real work and real experience that you can put in your resume. So when you do come out, I don't know if you're going to make a whole lot of money at it, but the experience I find is more valuable, because if you do that and you put real experience on your resume, they can't deny you.
Right.
And when you come out and you go into a job, you can actually choose what it is you want to do. You know, when you come out of college and you just have your degree, and then I know a lot of kids went back for their master's degrees because the job market wasn't great. So now you have a bachelor's and you have a master's and you have no experience.
Right.
You're not coming in at six figures.
I mean, it's so true. A lot of people under that mindset, I just need to get a degree and then I'll get a job. It's not like that. That opens the door. You got to have that mindset to build that skill set and cultivate that the whole time through real world experiences. So you're absolutely right.
So that's what I'm hoping to do. And that's the goal of the whole project. So that's where I met you guys at the WIT conference. And I was telling you about a book that I was writing. I haven't titled it yet, though. It's kind of like a baby. You don't want to title it until it's...
Here, the WIT conference? Elaborate a little bit more on that forward.
I'm sorry, Women in Technology.
Okay. Shout out.
Yes, shout out to Women in Technology.
Yeah, that was a pretty phenomenal conference. What was your experience like with that?
Oh, it was great. I knew a lot of the people there. And, you know, it was just great to reconnect with people that I hadn't seen in years. And just to know that it's such a strong group. You know, there's so much support if you just utilize it. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, don't realize how much support you get. I mean, they have programs that support women that don't have jobs. So if you're out of work, which, you know, technology is fluid. That's another thing that kids coming out of college don't understand. It's fluid, man. One day you're working. 2 months, 2 months from now, you might not be. But you have to continue to, you know, to move forward, and you can't let it get you. So
yeah, just almost keep moving forward, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of Katie, do you have any other takeaways from the WIT conference?
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see you again, Rebecca. Yeah, I had a really great time with Darren at WIT. But I actually wanted to go back to what you said a little bit ago about college students coming out and their preparedness for what's next. And I have a podcast called Keep Moving Forward, and I interview current and former professional and collegiate athletes turned entrepreneurs in some form. So it's, they use the skills that they cultivated as athletes, and then how are they using them to start their own businesses. But what you were talking about, that transition period from, you know, that in between, what are they doing? What are they not prepared for? That's what I'm trying to get in at. And you, while you're focusing on women in technology, I'm focusing on the collegiate athlete. What is missing? What part did, were they not told about that they're not ready for? Because it seems that once they graduate and they're no longer an athlete, it's that loss of identity and they don't know really what they're going to do next. And, you know, the NCAA and their professors and their coaches, they tell them that you're ready for the next steps. You have all of this experience as an athlete and all of this experience, you have a college degree, you're ready. But then you get out and you're like, well, I'm really not ready. I don't know what I'm actually prepared for. So I see the parallels in, I guess, both of our scenarios.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would think it could be really, really traumatic for the athlete that doesn't go pro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for what?
Yeah.
I've been coddled this whole time and, you know, prepped to do this and, you know, now what do I do?
Now, right. What's plan B?
Yeah.
Plan C, exactly. You know.
And see, that's what I think is missing at the college level. It's no one's really, you know, at least I didn't have anyone, you know, at the school to say, okay, well, actually I did. You know, I did because I was, I take that back. It's been a long time. Forgive me. I was president of our ABAS chapter, which is Association of Black Scientists and Engineers. So we did have a mentor and, you know, and he did, you know, he helped us as best he could.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a college professor. He wasn't in the industry, right?
Right.
So, you know, we got jobs. We, you know, we did stuff, but I wasn't prepared for Motorola to lay me off within the first year.
Mm.
After I had moved to Phoenix. I wasn't prepared for that.
That's tough.
Yeah, see, that's why I agree. I mean, just having a degree, it opens doors, but like to go back, it's about having that marketable skill set. So when that job does end in, say, a year, you have something to fall back on and something to just market and sell yourself.
Right. Or you know how to mm-hmm. get another one. Like, you have to, like, it's relationships. That's like the big thing I think that they don't teach. Cultivating relationships. You know, when they teach you to go network.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that. Because people keep saying networking is key, networking is key. But I don't think one person has ever told me what networking is. Like, it's kind of this rough idea, like, oh, just making connections, everything. But it's so much more. It's I wish people would call it relationship building, because it's much more of that than just checking this box off or adding somebody to your LinkedIn and then, oh, this person's in my database.
Building a network.
Yep.
So can you please elaborate more on that?
Yes, by all means. It is not. I'll tell you what it's not. It's not clicking a link saying add me. It's not just going to an event and passing out a few resumes. It's taking cards, calling back, following up. When you request me on LinkedIn and you don't follow up with me, it's a lost connection for you. I have a lot of information and I share it. Information's free.
Yep.
So, you know, I get a lot of people that request me as, you know, as a friend on LinkedIn, and I gladly accept the request. But how many of them follow up with an actual connection? So can we chat later? Or can we connect personally? None of them do. and they just move on and they keep clicking buttons.
So would you say it's an issue of quantity versus quality?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Please, when you're networking, focus on your quality. If you go to a networking event, instead of passing out like a ton of resumes, first find out who's going to be there before you go. And then you choose your targets. And if you walk away with one or two solid relationships, and when I mean solid, I mean we're going to meet for coffee and we've already scheduled it after this, you know, next week. Then it's a successful event and you continue to foster those relationships. But if you give me a resume or a card at a networking event and I don't know who you are and you don't follow up with me, you know where that's going? That's going in the pile that nobody ever looks at.
Yeah.
So it's really important to follow up and just be of value also. That's the other thing. It's not just a pull. It's a pull and a push. Offer me something. You want something from me, and I'll gladly give it to you. But offer me something in return. Even if it's just coffee. Even if it's just, you know, like, hey, if you meet with me, I got coffee. Okay, that's fine. It's all about some type of reciprocation. I need to know that you're vested in it just as I am. If I'm giving you something, then you got to kind of return the favor.
Yeah.
That's how people remember you.
And it's great that you mentioned that, because like Darren said, it seems that kids our age are more interested in the quality of connection or the quantity of connections instead of the quality. Like I know a lot of people, they're scrambling, kids my age, to get, you know, the 500 plus connections on LinkedIn. But once they have that, what do they really do? They kind of just assume that they're going to get a job from it just because they have so many connections. It just looks better. Like I have a friend who, I'm not sure this is true or not, but she had a friend who apparently was turned down a position because based off of her skills and expertise, the people interviewing her felt that she should have had more connections on LinkedIn than she had. So they thought that she wasn't, you know, networking correctly. And I'm starting to think like, that's kind of a backwards way of thinking. Like that shouldn't be criteria that people look at when...
Was it a sales position?
You know, it might've been, then it would have made more sense, but it just kind of goes to show like people are just hustling to get these connections because they think that just having these numbers, that's going to be something that's going to help them down the road. And that necessarily might not be the case.
And there's always a way to turn that around in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Always. So yeah, okay. It's like you said, it's quality over quantity. Yeah, I may only have 200 connections, but I can call up 50 of these people and have lunch with them.
Right.
They know who I am. So I can actually make connections. If you have 500 people on your LinkedIn, how many of them do you actually connect with? How many of them do you know? How many have you met for coffee? How many of you just scheduled a random meeting with, hey, can we talk? Can we chat? I want to know more about what it is you do. When was the last time you've done that?
Right.
I'm asking.
Oh, funny you say that, actually. We actually had a guest on the show a few months ago now, Joe Guthrie, and I've met with him ever since. Like we've met up for lunch two different times. He's been a great help.
He was on the show.
But he was on the show.
I'm talking about people that you have connected with strictly on LinkedIn.
You know, there's one I can think of in the last semester, honestly. We met up at Chick-fil-A. We ate and we discussed different things in the industry. He was doing supply chain. And we kind of just had a little back and forth. And we've had maybe one or two exchanges since then on LinkedIn. But I feel like, you know, I could reach out to him if ever, you know, need be.
Yeah, that's the connection, right?
I'll be honest, because I think the most that I've reached out on LinkedIn past that initial post is maybe when it comes up in the feed that they have a new promotion, give them the thumbs up. That's about it. So you're absolutely right.
So what I want you guys and your listeners to do, I'm going to challenge you to do something.
We got some homework. Let's go.
You guys are in school. You're used to homework. I want you to, for the next 4 weeks, commit to reaching out to at least 10 people a week on LinkedIn. If you link someone new, automatically ask them if they need, if they want to chat. Learn more about them. Go to the contacts you already have. Just 10 a week. And I want you to really, at the end of the 4 weeks, assess how you feel about your connections and what has come from them.
Right. That's a great idea.
And always, always have an ask. If you don't have an ask, you'll never get anything.
Makes sense.
I like that.
Throwing down the gauntlet. That's the challenge.
That's the challenge.
Yeah. What's that, 40, 80 people? Yeah. All right.
And this is kind of switching gears for you, Rebecca. Earlier, before the show went on, you had mentioned to me that you were helping with the laser focus challenge. And I was wondering if we could kind of dive into that, if you could tell us more about it, what it is.
Okay. Well, as you can see, I love a good challenge. Competitive person. So one of the things that I have started, well, I'm launching it in July, and I thought it would probably be pretty cool for your audience, is the Laser Focus Challenge. So my site is laserfocuschallenge.com. And what I'm doing with that is anyone that wants to start a business, this isn't just for women in technology, this is anyone that wants to start a business. Or if you have a business and you want to take it to the next level, join the challenge. It's 90 days. We have accountability groups, focus groups, and you'll get a free virtual assistant for a day just for joining.
Wow.
It's a virtual assistant. What's that?
What's a virtual assistant? Oh my God. A virtual assistant is someone that will do stuff that you don't want to do. Like, for instance, the homework I just gave you. Your virtual assistant could actually make some of those connections for you. You don't have to do it all yourself. Mm-hmm. I use VAs all the time to do stuff that I don't necessarily have time to do, but that need to be done. So I have, shout out theatlantaassistant.com. Nikki mm-hmm. Brown is my partner. And she, and this is kind of how we partner for my coaching. I offer virtual assistants. It comes with my coaching packages. So anyone that does coaching with me gets a virtual assistant. It's required because most of my people actually have jobs. So starting a business is difficult while you're working and, of course, while you're in school because you have a lot of other things that you need to do. So virtual assistants come in very, very, very handy.
Sounds awesome. How's their calculus? Good?
No, we do not use them for homework. That is not recommended, although I probably would have tried it. Especially Calc 2. That was hard.
Yeah.
That was a challenging class.
Yeah.
So switching gears a little bit here, Katie, some of the guests that you've had on your show are just some really inspirational, incredible people. So since the time you've been here, who are some of the ones that have stood out?
Well, thanks, Darren. most recently, I had the privilege of speaking to Evander Holyfield, the former heavyweight champ of the world.
Wow.
He was pretty cool. I got to connect with him. And then I actually got further in connection with, he started his own promotions company, The Real Deal Promotions. He's representing a couple of different boxers, and they have their first exhibition fight this weekend. And they asked me to write an article featuring one of their boxers because they liked the article I wrote about Evander Holyfield. So I had the privilege of writing that article too and interviewing another really cool boxer who's kind of up and coming and just kind of like, he's a millennial boxer. They're trying to build him up in that space and, you know, with our audience. So it's just, I can't really believe the doors that have been opened through the podcast and now having the chance to be on the Business Radio X team and going to events like the Women in Technology, WIT Connect was just, it was amazing to be there. And then to meet someone like you, Rebecca, it was just a great night. So, and I mean, I've actually made further connections too with being in the studio with Leon Stone, and hearing them speak to different people, I've actually made connections through my own podcast and been able to interview those people for my show too.
Well, Katie, you mentioned that you've been helping out with Atlanta Business Radio X, Lean Stone specifically. What's that experience been like?
I mean, it's been awesome. For a while, I guess the entrepreneur life, you kind of have to have a level of confidence and, you know, it kind of waxes and wanes. And sometimes I was going through periods of time of actually applying for full-time jobs because I'm like, I have to really make money. I have to make a living doing this. It can't just be a hobby. And so I was actually struggling a couple months ago and applying for jobs. And I reached out to Lee and Stone about just wanting to talk to them about a business idea, just kind of bounce ideas off them because making connections, actually reaching out to people. And so I met with them. And then a week later, they asked me to come back in the studio and wondered if I wanted to come on and help a little bit. And I was like, yeah, it worked out perfectly because I was in kind of a weird period. But the idea that I can still be in exactly the same space that I'm trying to build up with my own podcast and my own business, it's just, I mean, it's incredible that it happened. And since then, the opportunities that I've had to both working with them. So it's really been, it's just been incredible, honestly.
It's great to hear.
And the fact that you actually reached out, you see what happens?
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy. And just the fact that even if you guys remember, I reached out to you, right? So now we're here as a result of me just chatting with you. And I see so many parallels with what you're doing and with the Laser Focus Challenge. I mean, you're more than welcome to, you know, get some of your athletes and they can join the challenge. And if you want to do some type of, you know, partnership, I'm sure something could come of this.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely stay in contact.
Yes. So you just never know what happens. Just a conversation.
Networking.
Yeah, that was a great example on air. On air networking.
So,
Katie.
Yeah.
Working with Lee and Stone.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That was my question.
Good.
You did it. So, are there any particular events or anything like that coming up that you want to speak to?
Actually, today at 1 p.m., anybody can join in because it's going to be on Facebook Live. So all you have to do is tune into the Business Radio X Facebook page, like the page, and then we will actually be going live at 1. And Lee Cantor will be giving a Return the Learning lecture about his recent experiences at an Alt MBA program that he went through. And it was a Seth Godin program. So it should be really, really cool, really interesting. A lot of good information coming at us. So definitely tune in. You can ask questions, write them in, and just engage with us live.
And for anyone that's listening to this after this comes out on podcast format, can they find that archived anywhere? Would that be on the talk would be on their Facebook page?
Yeah, so it will be saved on the Business Radio X Facebook page, and you can just go back to it, and we will share it all over social media, so it will be available for you to tune in, even if you're not available to watch it live. It will be available forever after that.
All right, good deal. All right, Rebecca and Katie. Well, Katie, you know, our final question here. Darren, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, sure. So just to wrap up, first I want to say thank you guys thank you, ladies, for coming on here. And our last question, just to wrap things up, is if there's one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you're starting out, what would that be, Rebecca? It's a tough one. A lot of people,
take your time.
It's a tough one, but I wish I knew me more. You know, I wish I knew more about myself. When you start out, you think you know what it is you want. And it's really not necessarily what you want. It's what you've been told. So it takes a couple years, maybe 5 or 10 sometimes, to actually realize what you want and how you want to go about getting it. And I just wish that I knew myself more than I did coming out.
Like spending some time doing some soul searching, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Instead of, you know, when I came out, it was just like, okay, money, 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 money. I want to make money. That was the big thing. It's just like, how much money can I make? And it wasn't about how can I impact the world or what's going to make me happy. And I had to realize, it took me a while to realize, okay, it's like all my goals were aligned to money, financial goals. It's like, when I'm this age, I want to make this much money. And I actually, my goal was to at least double my income from my age. So at 20, I had to make at least 40,000. You know, at 30, I had to make at least 60,000. And, you know, those were easy goals. It was just like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, I exceeded those. It's just like, okay. But then when I did that, it was like, all right, now what?
Should have made harder goals.
I should have made more meaningful goals.
Right.
Because it wasn't about the money. And that's what took me a while to realize. And the money took me in different directions. But, you know, I think I was like 32 when I started to actually feel a little empty. And it's like, okay, I think then I was making like 80, 90,000 a year. I exceeded my goals, but it was just still like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
So that's when I really started down the path of trying to do some soul searching and figure out what really makes me tick. What does Rebecca want? And how do I want to impact the world with my gifts?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a great answer.
Yeah, that honestly might be one of my favorite. I'm not just saying that really was that. That was a really great answer. Thanks. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Let's see if Katie.
And Katie?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I remember the last time I was on, I told you guys, which I still wish was true, that I knew when I started my podcast, or I just kind of realized that the people I was talking to were literally just normal people, even though they were my role models and, you know, professional athletes, Olympic athletes, they're just people. And I shouldn't have been so nervous and angsty about talking to them. But I really, I guess, reflecting on it and just where I am now versus where I was 2 years ago, when I first graduated and kind of started on this journey, I think it was completely necessary. Everything that happened and everything that I went through, all the opportunities that didn't pan out, all the ones that did. So I kind of, I don't know, even if I had the chance to do it again, and if I had some kind of, somehow knew what was going to happen, I think I still would have taken the same path.
That's awesome.
Great answer. And Katie and Rebecca, for any of our listeners that want to reach out for you guys, what would be the best way to do that? Is there like a social media account? Is there a website?
LaserFocusChallenge.com, or you can email me at MyLifeCoachRebecca.com. I'm always on LinkedIn, Rebecca Robinson. So, and then my Twitter, SuccessCoachRR.
And for me, you can subscribe to my podcast on iTunes. It's Keep Moving Forward. You can go to keepmovingforward.us and follow me on social media at Keep Moving Forward Podcast or at Katie Galley 45.
And we'll get some of those links out shortly, right after the show. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming. I'm Adam Wozniak.
Malik Stoker.
I'm Darren Parkinson.
We are Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.